This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. It's going to be Ruby and Anthony tonight with a special interview with Sergeant Rob Brown, who's the director of the Defence Force LGBTI Information Service, or DEFGLIS. That's coming up just after these messages and Sing by the Dresden Dolls. Stay tuned for more. You're on Joy. You're listening to Triple Bypass here on Joy 94.9. We're here to put the B in LGBTI, and we're having a bit of a special show today. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
And we're joined by Sergeant Rob Brown, who's the director of DEFGLIS, is that correct? Is that how you say it? DEFGLIS from the Australian Defence Force. Thanks so much for joining us, Rob.
Thank you for having me.
So obviously, we're pre-recording the show, but this will be for Anzac Day, which is, I've heard from my friends who in the Defence Force, is the most important holiday, really, on the military social calendar. So I suppose while we go over the history, well, there'll be a lot of talk today about the history of Australia's Defence Force and what has been done and what they have done to serve up, to help serve and protect our country. So, but I suppose we're interested in what's the history of DEFGLIS? You're the director there. How long has this institution been going?
So DEFGLIS has existed in a couple of different shapes and forms for around about the last 10 years. And it's a peer support network which exists external to defence, but it's made up of defence personnel, defence civilians and families that identify as LGBTI or our allies.
Fantastic. So just to confirm, so DEFGLIS is still officially stands for Defence Gay and Lesbian Information Service, is that right?
It's the Defence LGBTI Information Service.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was just talking about the title DEFGLIS. So obviously, like it's expanded like over time as you know the other letters in the spectrum have wiggled our way in. But that was the way. And just to confirm, just to make sure, you identify as bisexual. Is that right?
That's correct.
Well, it's really great to have you on the show.
I've only recently come out as bisexual.
Oh,
congratulations. Well. We're so happy to have you as part of our group. One of us.
Yes, yes. The B, being part of the B is brilliant. And Rob, I'm just wondering, because you described it as a peer initiative, it would have been some very brave defence personnel who would have come out originally to say, hey, we're LGBTI, we're going to have this thing happening here, come and join us.
Yeah, look, and we've certainly seen lots of different people come through our organisation. As far as DEFGLIS, we've got a lot of veterans who were not allowed to publicly identify as LGBTI when they served, and I'm very proud to be laying a wreath in place with one of those veterans tomorrow, actually.
Wow, that's fantastic. And Rob, I suppose, so you mentioned that you've just come out recently. Was DEFGLIS and the information they helped provide, did that help you come to that decision that you did want to be a bit more public about that? Or was it something that actually helped you learn to identify yourself or to help you reach, you know, your understanding of your own sexuality? We don't have to go into detail about that.
Yeah, certainly. No, that's fine. I'm happy to talk about it. It was a long process coming out. I sort of started it in 2015, but I've been with this now for about the last 5 years. And it showed me that we've got such a diverse range of people with such different personal circumstances, and that it was okay to be myself publicly. So I began by telling friends at work, and then I was lucky enough to go to the Anzac Commemoration Service in Gallipoli in 2015. And took my younger brother, who's also in the Air Force, and told him while we were in Istanbul. And that was the first, I guess, big announcement to a member of family that I identified as bisexual. And certainly DEFGLIS has been a massive support to me in terms of coming out and coming to terms with my personal identity.
It's fantastic to hear that there are these resources now. Like, it's, you know, I'm sure I think last year there was a story on, the fact that even, you know, even for the original Anzacs, there were, of course, there were LGB, well, I suppose particularly GB, serving members, because, you know, that's just the way people work. But the fact that we've now reached a point where, you know, you can visit that site and be able to have that conversation with your family, I think that's a pretty incredible, firstly, a pretty incredible place to have that conversation, and a pretty incredible situation to be able to talk about that so freely with so much support.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really hard to put into words what the position I would have been in without DeafBliss. I guess they've just given me a confidence that I never knew I had in terms of talking to people about my sexual orientation and what I can do to support others in coming to terms with who they are and coming out to their families and friends. It's a really, really great thing.
Yeah, well, providing that level of support is something I'm interested in, Rob, because I'm wondering, what does that actually look like? Because getting used to the Defence Force culture and community, if you like, is one thing, just like, I guess, any workplace. But also then if someone's identifying as LGBTI and wanting to sort of reach out to DeafBliss, what can they expect? What sort of support is provided?
Well, we do a range of things for our members. We have a Facebook group that we use to keep in touch with people. We can provide peer support to families. We provide ongoing training to Defence Command and to personnel. We have an annual Defence Pride Ball, which we host in Sydney each year. And it's basically a night where the LGBTI personnel within Defence can get together, can network, and just kind of get together with other people who might be the same boat as them, who might not necessarily be out and proud.
Yeah.
We certainly have plenty of members who are, and we also coordinate Defence's involvement in the Mardi Gras each year.
Fantastic.
Wow, nice one.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Guys, we're chatting with Sergeant Rob Brown from DeafBliss, which is the Australian Defence Force's LGBTI information service. Well, outside of the official Defence Force, but it's an information and support network for LGBTI members of the Defence Force, their friends and their families and allies. We've been talking so far about the brief history of DeafBliss going back about 10 years now. And Rob himself, who has come out as bisexual within the last few years, which is obviously fantastic. Yes. Always great to have a few more bees hanging around. So, Rob, back to discussing what's happening with the services and everything that's going on today. You mentioned that you'll be visiting and laying a wreath with a veteran as part of a DeafBliss moment, sort of. So is that particularly in regards to former LGBTI fallen soldiers?
Yeah, so 2015, our members identified a need to commemorate those who've for us, and not just those who've died in war and in peacekeeping, but the personnel who were LGBTI but couldn't identify as such while they were serving. And for us, we've been doing this now for, this will be our third year. We have been laying wreaths around many of the major cities within Australia to commemorate those people and make sure that they have a voice amongst our community, that we remember that it wasn't just the heterosexuals who went to war for Australia and died.
I think that's so important because I guess, you know, death and the LGBTI community is something that, you know, we often talk about, but generally in terms of suicide and hate crimes and these sorts of things. But but people from our community who actually go onto the battlefields to defend their country and identify as LGBTI and put their lives at risk for our, I guess, freedom and safety. I guess we don't often think about that, do we? We don't often think about the fact that people from the queer community are actually out there on the front line representing us also in that way, in such incredibly brave ways.
And it does sound as well, as you've mentioned before, Rob, it's only been recently, really, that members of the Defence Force have allowed to be openly open about their sexuality. Now, could you just, when did Australia change that legislation? So did we ever, so I know the American don't ask, don't tell policy was quite infamous, but still seen as a step in the right direction. Now, did we have something similar, or did we go straight from never okay to, yeah, all right, that's fine?
Basically, it was a decision of government that changed in about 1993, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it allowed for defence members to openly be gay in defence, where it was all automatic dismissal from defence prior to that time.
Right.
Well, so I suppose actually that in a way means we were in front of the United States.
Right.
Which is different, I suppose, as far as generally the legislation that's been happening over the last few years. I suppose, the culture for the Defence Force has been infamous in a lot of ways for secrecy and for internal intimidation. And that, I suppose, do you feel that it is now very, is now a safe place for LGBTI people to join, and to, if they do feel that they, you know, want to take that step and step up to work with the Defence Force in any capacity, whether it's Air Force, Navy?
Well, certainly we've got a very inclusive culture now. We've got many allies within the upper echelon of defence who openly support us. Chief amongst us is our Vice Chief of Defence Force, Vice Admiral Griggs, who is one of our longest and most fervent allies. He's been so good in opening new doors for us and basically making sure that the past stays in the past and that we can move forward as an inclusive workplace.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I mean, at the risk of sounding like an ageist here, it's definitely not what I'm trying to do by making this comment, but I think that people who are perhaps a lot older, I know in my experience, people who are sort of much older, I have found that sometimes they have been sort of socialized and brought up in a time in a sort of fiercely homophobic sort of culture and social context. And so sometimes their sort of queer phobia might be more entrenched. And I'm just wondering about Ruby's question also about, you know, institutions where it's historically been largely male, cisgendered male dominated. I'm just wondering about sort of how queer phobia sort of might play out. I mean, I guess we do hear about the AFL talking about, yeah, we're ready for an AFL player to come out. You know, we're ready for that. We're inclusive. We've got, queer cheer squads now and all this sort of stuff. But I'm just wondering, for the individual, how would the LGBTI individual experience the culture, and if not, if more of them aren't coming out?
And if does DefGLIS have a lot of people they communicate with who are not ready to come out yet?
Right.
Yeah, well, look, we certainly exist, as I've said, as a peer support network.
Mm.
So we're available to people who are out, who are coming out, who don't plan on coming out. And it's about providing that support to those members to be who they are within the dance world. And, look, I've never personally experienced any homophobia or any negative discrimination. But I know that there is a history of it amongst defence. That's something we're certainly moving away from. And defence is so much more inclusive and I guess LGBTI friendly than it ever was before.
And you'd want it to be, wouldn't you? Because if you're out sort of, you know, confronting the enemy and
or being willing to put your life on the line.
On the line.
Yes.
You'd want to know that, you know, the person standing beside you is with you, you know, that you have this sort of bond and this agreement that you are working together, you're supporting each other, you're attuned to each other's needs without having to worry about, or, you know, queer phobia, I guess.
Absolutely. But you also, before you were mentioning, Rob, that one of the services that DefGLIS does work on is providing, I suppose, this is my words, but almost sensitivity training for commanding officers, and to kind of, you know, bring people up to speed on what the needs of LGBTI service members might be. So how has that been going? Has there been a positive response to that? Has the older, I suppose, as Anthony was saying, more entrenched members been quite open to talking and hearing about ways that they can be more supportive of LGBTI service members?
Well, our initiatives have been really favourably looked upon, so much so that other arms of government are looking to incorporate some of the training that we've developed into their own policy. And so that's a really good coup for us, that we can be leading the way, not within, not just within defence, but within government as a whole.
Absolutely.
If we can help support fellow LGBTI people across the spectrum, that's something that we're very passionate about at Deathless.
That's so fantastic.
Awesome.
To hear. That really is. It's a brave new world, I suppose, because I think there are still. I wish there was more visibility for the fact that groups like Deathless exist.
Yes.
I feel that, you know, if there was more of a, I guess like I hadn't been aware of
right.
it. I suppose I assumed that there must be some kind of a group for it
right.
since it has been legal.
Well, they're marching in Pride.
They are marching in Pride and at Mardi Gras. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of parades and marches, I mean, Anzac Day, it is Anzac Day. And I'm just wondering, is there, can we expect, I don't know if every state is different, but can we expect a sort of magnificently large rainbow flag waving around as they parade down Swanston Street?
I think they mostly do it in their squads and battalions. I'm not sure that quite fits in there. But
unfortunately, the way defence works for Anzac Day is it's, service and unit-based marching through the capital cities, but defence LGBTI personnel are very present in all those different groups. And while we don't outwardly display the rainbow, and we're very, very aware of who we are and what we bring to defence as a whole.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll save the glitter and the rainbow flags for Pride March and Mardi Gras, I guess.
A bit more appropriate, I reckon. Yeah. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break and a song for more of our interview with Sergeant Rob Brown from the Defence Force LGBTI Information Service. Coming up, Sarah Bareilles and Brave. This is Joy 94.9. Stay tuned.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
All right, so this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. We are chatting with Sergeant Rob Brown for an Anzac Day special. Sergeant Rob Brown is the director of DefGLIS, which is the Defence LGBTI Information Service. We've been chatting so far about the history of DefGLIS, as well as the plans that have been happening around Anzac Day and what DefGLIS has been providing for support and also for communicating with command of the Defence to talk about how to be more inclusive. So, Rob, now we can talk a bit more about the being bisexual. So one of the things that comes with being bisexual, particularly a male bisexual, is that there is not a whole lot of visibility. So I suppose, do you think that understanding that and being a bisexual person yourself means that you're able to kind of maybe have a good idea of when the importance of language and the importance of, for example, making sure that people don't use gender terminology when they're talking about service, people in service, and even, you know, referring to family or that sort of thing? What kind of a feedback have you had so far as working on, you know, making sure they're not just talking about gay and lesbian service members?
Well, my experience has been that I'm often challenged with my sexuality, especially by many of the gay men that I know, that my friends who sort of suggest that maybe I'm not sure about my sexuality, that I don't know what I want.
Has the word phase been used?
I'm very, very sure of my sexuality.
Yeah.
And I'm often asked, are you still attracted to women? And I've said to people, of course I am. I was never not attracted to women. I'm attracted to women and to men.
Right.
I was formerly married to a woman. I have two children, two beautiful children, and now I have a male partner.
Yeah.
My sexual orientation is very firm in my mind, and I guess as a bisexual director with DefGLIS, it allowed me to be the voice for the bisexuals amongst defence and make sure that we've got a place at the table and that we can be visible in our organisation.
I think that's well said, Rob, and we can empathise with all of that. If everything you've just said, this, we often talk about that stuff on this show. But also, I like the way you said, you know, making sure that we have a seat at the table. It's often the part of the activism that bisexuals have to do, and regardless of, you know, whatever place in the world we occupy, and it sounds like you're doing that, all that work down there at DefGlis. So well done, and keep at it.
Absolutely. I think you can almost play like bingo when you're bisexual. Like, you know, what are the things people say? Has someone said I'm going through a phase? Tick. Has someone said I'm actually gay? Tick. And I suppose with the Defence Force, they're still like, you know, from what I understand, it's, you know, you're around a lot of men a lot of the time if you are a man. So there's generally still, I'm not sure how many of the groups are mixed gendered. So I can imagine that there would be pretty strong pushback against that, saying, oh no man, like, you know, you're with the guys, you're one of the guys, like that's how it is. So firstly, I'm so glad to hear again that you remind people that identifying as bisexual does not mean you're unsure. It's actually the exact opposite. You're very, very sure. It's the same stuff everywhere, no matter where you are, it seems. But and that, I think that's why we're both so excited to hear that you're a director of this group, because right. You know, in the LGBTI community, there is often more pushback from gay and lesbian people than there can be from the heterosexual community, which doesn't really kind of just think of us at all. So I think you're absolutely right, and Anthony's already said, so I'm just going to re-say it because I am just really excited. It's so nice that we've got a seat at the table and that you're out there putting out our flag, because, you know, pink, purple and blue are pretty good colours as well. We do fit in the rainbow.
Absolutely.
Before you did come out, have you had much of a sense of bisexual community?
Look, I hadn't really. I've been only aware from friends that are very much in the closet still, because they're married, they've got children, they're not ready to come out. So I guess until I joined DefGlis and met other bisexuals, I really didn't have much of a sense of that culture, that togetherness that we can sort of have. It's from my experiences, it's easier to group the gays and the lesbians and the transgender people, but the bisexuals often kind of tag along with the group, and that's why it's so important that we're involved in conversations, that we get to talk about who we are and what we are, what we can bring to any organisation.
Totally, absolutely. And Rob, do you find, are there, I mean, it's, I know it's not a numbers game, but I do like to know where bisexual people are popping up, I guess, around Australia. But are you finding lots of people are identifying as the B as they're coming to DefGlis for support or to sort of work through their processes?
Yeah, certainly the numbers are getting higher and higher, and I think that it helped that, I'd like to say it helps having someone that's bisexual on the team to show that you can be bi and proud of who you are and still be part of the organisation.
Absolutely. I think, again, having that visibility can cement a lot of the insecurities that people who are bisexual can feel, because as you've experienced, as Anthony and myself have experienced, often the reaction can be, no, you're just confused, you don't actually know what you are. So by having someone like yourself, you know, who's now the director for this group, stand up and say, well, actually I'm very sure, and this is exactly what I am, and there's actually a lot of people, if you feel this way, this is what you probably are too, and that's not a phase, you're not confused.
Right. Yeah, it's good representing. And Rob, can I ask just on a sort of personal note, you mentioned something earlier about sort of having to leave the country, going to Istanbul and coming out to your brother there. I'm wondering about if it was easier to take him out of the country so he couldn't run off anywhere. He had to sit there and listen to you coming out. What was that like?
Well, it's interesting. We left just as the big storms hitting the New South Wales East Coast at the end of April in 2015, and back home, both of our significant others were sort of not contactable for a few days, and I was starting to get a little bit worried about my boyfriend and my pets and the house and whether everything was kind of still standing. And I was trying frantically to try and get him on the phone or get someone to get a message to him. And my brother said to me, "Why are you so concerned about Cody?" And I said, "Well, I guess it's time to tell you. No better chance than ever. I'm bisexual, and Cody, who has been living with me for all this time, is my partner." And it kind of floored him a little bit, and he said, "Well, I don't care. You're the same person you've always been, and I love you, and you're my brother." And that just gave me a hell of a lot of reassurance, and it made me think that it's the right time and the right moment. And we were in another country. We were stuck in a hotel room together in Istanbul. It was night. It was everything kind of just worked at the right time.
Good response, brother.
Absolutely. But also, I do think it's interesting that for a lot of heterosexual people, like, you know, if, you know, you live with this guy for a few years, it's like you didn't think maybe for a second that,
Well, we do try and give him hints along the way, Rob. Were you sort of dropping a few hints, trying to drag him over to the left just to get him to notice a few things along the way?
I guess I was making sure that he was ready to hear it by introducing my partner to the lives of my family very slowly and steadily. I've come from a traditional family where my father actually was very homophobic when I was growing up, and I didn't know how any of my family members were going to take it, but they've all taken pretty much my entire family knows now, and they've all taken it so well. It's kind of floored me a little bit how well they've taken it, considering the environment I grew up in. So it was, I guess, the fact that I slowly introduced Cody into their lives was a good thing, because it let them sort of see that he was a human being, and that he wasn't this scary person that they thought he was going to be.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it made coming out easier.
That's fantastic. It's interesting, isn't it, that often when people do have these homophobic mentalities, they're so divorced from actually being connected with people.
Yes.
So they're not, you know, they're not thinking about individuals. They're just kind of thinking about a group that they actually know nothing about. And that kind of separation and alienation means that it's much easier to form broad, sweeping, inaccurate opinions. And then when they're actually just like, "I'm not, you know, oh, this doesn't actually mean a group I have no connection with. This is my son, or this is, right, you know, my son's partner." So we're so glad to hear, though, that that was a positive response, because it's a huge step. It is a really big step. And how about, so is your partner, does he identify as gay or bisexual? And how has he been about your bisexuality? Because as you mentioned, gay men can push back a little bit against that.
He's, my partner Cody is gay. He's a little bit younger than I am, and a lot more worldly. So he kind of took it all in his stride. And he understands that I'm attracted to men and women, and he'll often point out an attractive guy or girl that we happen to be walking past or driving past. And it's so funny when he looks at attractive women, and he says, "What do you think about her?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, she's okay." And he goes, "But she's hot." It's so funny.
Oh, it's like, "Oh, Cody, maybe you're a bit confused, man."
Right.
As a bisexual man, that we're definitely more visible in our community now, and I think that's a great thing. I think that the more visible we are, the better we have a chance to actually coexist with everyone else in the spectrum, and it's good to be able to support each other in that.
Absolutely. We could not agree more. It has been fantastic to be able to talk with you and to hear all about the work that you've been doing, both, you know, with yourself and with Deafglis. And so I suppose, like, I bring up the statistic a lot, but I'm not sure if you're aware, Rob, but only about 11% of men who identify as bisexual ever come out. So, you know, you're part of a pretty special group there.
Very elite group, Rob. Welcome to the club.
Anthony's always happy to have some friends.
To be part of that group.
Oh, we are so proud to have you. And we're so thankful that you've taken the time to chat with us on our bisexual show. Yeah.
And also on this Anzac Day week. So we know this is an important time on the calendar of the Defence Force. So thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us on this very special day.
And thank you so much for your service.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rob. Enjoy the rest of your day. I hope maybe we'll speak again soon in the future.
That's great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thanks, Rob. So that was Rob Brown from Defqlis here on Triple Bypass talking to us about the brilliant work that he does there with LGBTI service people. And
particularly, and the work he's been doing to help increase bisexual visibility,
yes,
within the LGBTI community in the Defence Force.
Absolutely. And because of Rob's discussion, I kind of feel like going to the Dawn service or something, just getting involved in sort of...
Isn't that interesting? Because that's the effect it has, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like, that's right, it's for us too.
Yeah.
It's for us as well, yeah, and we can be a part of that as well. That being said, I'm not really a morning person, but I do have a huge amount of respect for the work that Sergeant Rob has been doing, and I hope that you guys do too, listeners, because bisexuals are fighting on all lines.
Yes, buy a badge for Anzac Day.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is Triple Bypass. You're on Joy.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.